What's today's date? So we know. Hold on. That's the 16th of January. That's when we had this space right here, man. Talking any and everything UVA. I know we got some big news with Carla Williams getting the extension. I know that's a hot topic. UVA basketball is a hot topic. They just lost to SMU last night in a debacle. So if folks want to talk about that or the season, I'm here for it. I ain't watch all the games, but I'm truly a fan. So when it comes to basketball, I could just be a fan and I could just say stuff because I'm a fan. So the shoe on the other foot, now I could just have fun and be like, hey, what about this? What about that? I still try to be respectful. But if you want to request a mic, you know, just hit the little icon at the bottom left, request to come up. And, yeah, man, you share your thoughts on UVA football, UVA basketball, men and women's basketball. And then Carla Williams, do you agree or disagree? Do you like, dislike? Are you mad? Are you happy? Like, it is what it is, man. It's a safe space. Be respectful, though. You ain't got to call nobody no names or nothing. You share your piece. It's your opinion. And that's just what it is, man. I appreciate everybody. I'm going to try to do this in like about 70, 80 minutes. The cutoff. I'm definitely stopping at 6. So that's why I started at 4:45 so we can get it rolling. So, and I know a lot of people got a lot of emotions with it too, man. So I ain't trying to have a lot of people getting back and forth. I know you can't control everything. Some people may get a little animated, but they got to live with that. If they say something crazy, they gotta stand on that 10. So that's just what it is, man. What's up, OG? How you doing, man?
Yeah. What's good, man?
Not much, man. Chilling.
Yeah, man. I missed that last space, so you know I got to pick up off there. Feel me? And then I'm gonna get to all the news.
Okay.
As far as, you know what I'm saying, the end of that football season. Shit is what it is, man. That was a wash. It was more meat on the bone. We all know it was. It is what it is. Turn the page to the off season, right? Boys got a little bit of money. Injected a little bit of passion around this motherfucking accident. They look good. Hey, Porter Tony ain't nothing to be messed with. That leads right up into today's news with Carla. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to have somebody speak logical and let's really break this down why this is such a bad hire. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy as hell to me. It's like a big group of people online that constantly blame. We look for somebody to blame. I get it. You know what I'm saying?
We could dispel a lot of false accusations when it comes to these, like the coaches that left. Because if people really want to get into that bag and really want to know truth, I'm here, bro. I'm really sick and tired of the Facebook posts, the message board posts that I made, the tweets. Like, we're gonna really get down to some truths of that ain't on her.
It ain't. That is not on her.
So somebody want to ask me a question of what was on her, let me know. I'm here. Like, I'm really irritated how some could get attached to an individual and you absolve the party who just left.
Yeah,
which is their prerogative to leave, but the fact they'd be like, oh, they just ran off and it was under her watch. What?
She didn't do nothing to keep him around. Hey, look, I'm going to keep it a bean with you. You don't know what a bean is? I'm going to keep it a whole stack. You don't know what a stack is? I'm going to keep it 100. His ass was leaving regardless, okay? As soon as somebody called from the land of apple butter, he was out of here. You better use common sense. He stabbed you in your back, took off. It is what it is.
Hold on. You got to put a name. You said he. We don't know who you're talking about because two coaches left. So which one you talking about?
Well, we're talking football. I'll get the basketball. Bronco left. As soon as he got that offer out west, he was gone regardless. He was at New Mexico State 1 year. Utah State called, pow, peace, I'm gone. He was leaving regardless. In due time, my people, in due time, all right? basketball? How you gonna blame her for that? We all watched paint dry last year. How do we act like that? Like ain't nobody watched 17 points and a half. Motherfucker standing up cheering and shit. Oh, shot clock. 17 points and a half. And this is the mid you get. I'm telling you, Tony went to practice. He saw some suicides. He saw some air ball threes. And he walked to the corner and said, you're not doing me like this. I'm out of here. You built it. She ain't built it. She didn't build it. What are we talking about? That shit is so crazy to me. The blame and the illogical placement of some of the shit people be saying online. Excuse my language, because some people got to be tight.
Speak freely, brother.
With the whole DEI thing, you're just scared to say what you really want to say. You want to say the N-word, but you're scared because you ain't got enough hair on your chest. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? When she came here, ain't nobody talking about, you know what I'm saying, the banner that got hung and one of the main sports that we didn't have, the Orange Bowl visit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. The Tina junk was a little shaky, but as a good AD would do, what did she do? She got rid of her, got Mox. Now we got the Mo and O show. The best kid out the state. Off the rip. Goddamn Serena Williams' husband coming in the crib, chilling, throwing out millions like it's hotcakes. For nothing? Oh, yeah, right, right. Just for nothing. It's crazy, the thought process of some of this shit. Now, I could get behind, you know, maybe some of the, why this increase, why that increase. That's for a whole nother topic that's above my pay grade, though. I can't pocket watch nobody else. I don't be going to work like, this plumber make 27 and I make 35. He that close? Oh, I need another $3. And you're pocket watching somebody else, cuz. When at the same time, all you need to be doing is elevating this goddamn who. That is all it's about. You fucking crying all the time, talking about somebody want to come work here and do that. You out your goddamn mind. You think you talking about Alabama here right now? Oh, yeah, somebody just going to leave where they at. A whole better situation to come deal with some shit like this all the time, right? We ain't even get Tony time. The deliberation still out on Tony. Know what I'm saying? She ain't had nothing to do with Bronco leaving. She ain't had nothing to do with Tony leaving. That's a no country for older man situation. And then you got a goddamn vagabond for a head coach in the football. That's what that is, if we want to call a spade a spade. So all that extra shit, we arguing about an AD like she out here calling plays. Man, shut up. Get the spring, get the baseball. Let's go do something. That shit is irrelevant right now. A lot of the shit people are saying is irresponsible right now. And at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing, but it's a certain way, I guess, how I can't even tell you how to say it. You know what I'm saying? It's a certain way that some of this shit is coming across. That shit coming across high-key racist is a bitch, if we want to be honest. The shit coming off high-key racist is a bitch. And it reminds me all the time that I'm a UVA fan. Swear to God. It reminds me all the time that I'm standing outside of HOA looking in. I ain't lying to you. So, I mean, that's what I got. You feel me?
Now, I appreciate your thoughts, too, man. Just being transparent and speaking your truth. You know what I'm saying? So, it's not casting aspersion on everybody as a whole. You're just going off what you see and what you experience. Yeah, so,
that's it.
I definitely appreciate that. My man Craig, what's up, bro? What you got?
Hey, Hawk, you ran track, right? And when you was in school, right?
Yeah.
How many championships did y'all win? How many championships had you seen the track team win? When you was running
at UVA, we didn't win any.
Guess who winning track championships now?
We are.
Yeah. Guess who hired that coach?
Carla.
Yep. Exactly. Her only bad hire was Tina Thompson. That's it. And then Tony is still to be determined. But I mean, hey, that's the only bad hire, and she fixed that with Mox. So. I mean, I just don't understand and bringing in millions of dollars. I don't understand where the hate coming from, for real. So I just don't understand it at all.
I mean, so here's the thing. I understand in the climate that we are in sports, if it doesn't work, we're in the age of turnover. Like, as fans, analysts, whatever, we're okay with creating a turnover if we can dictate the turnover. So if somebody's not performing in 2-3 years, depending on the situation, depending on their name, depending on the cachet, it's like, all right, we got to, hey, go get another one. Like, go get another coach, or go get another this, or go get another that. And we're fine with that, because as fans, we want to win now. Like, we don't want to wait. The days of developing or taking the small victories, they call the more victories now. You don't want to deal in the truth. You just want to deal in what they do. Over there, they did it. Why can't we do it? But life don't work like that. Just because somebody over there accomplished something doesn't mean that you can too. It's just the truth. It's not an excuse. It's just the realest thing I could tell folks. Like, that's like somebody saying, hey, Ahmad at his height did this and did that. You could do it too. No, the hell he can't. Can he run a 4.3? Can he run a 10.3 and 100? No. So he can't do what I do. You can't tell that kid that. You know what I'm saying? That might not be the best example, but we always think things are cut and dry. But in the same aspect, when I always tell adults, like, kind of watch what you, how you communicate consistently, because a young person can watch that and model that. So on the flip side, think of the age that we're in with the young student athletes, their turnover era, the transfer portal. Don't we hate that? We hate turnover, right? We hate when they just jump in the portal and they jump in, like, are they jumping in this year? And they jumping in again, then they jumping in. Like, that's 3 schools in 3 years. And I'm sitting myself thinking on our situation, it's like, do you really want to go down that rabbit hole of just having turnover? Like, you don't have no consistency. Because without consistency, you're really not going to get the recruits you want. Like, we saw that even with Tony stepping down. When he stepped down, we saw Chance Mallory like, oh, I got to reopen now. Like, coach left. You know what I'm saying? We know at this offseason it's going to be dicey, because, you know, with Sanchez being interim and the team not doing well, and, like, the coaching staff with Jay Willie and man, Randy, like, all the guys that I know on that coaching staff, Kyle Guy came back, it's like, all those guys probably won't be here. And it's like, damn. Because I thought about that today. Like, when people was like, you know, Sanchez out of here, we got to find a coach, Carter got to make a great hire. I'm like, yeah, she wanted to make a great hire. And I'm like, damn, Jay Willie been here for a long time. You know what I'm saying? Coach Vandro's been here for a long time. Damn. Like, they might not be here now. Because when you bring in your old head man, you don't want to tell them, hey, you got to keep them on board. And then Cal Guy, he just retired. Now he coming to be a coach, and he not going to be on board. Like, damn, like, that's a lot of domino effects. But I'm just saying, like, here's what I wanted to share with folks, right? And somebody may bring it up, they may not. Here's what I want to dispel. I'm speaking football. Basketball, I ain't got the inside out, but you could just see what took place in basketball from the outside. But here's what I want to dispel right now. I don't know how many people in here, and I'll repeat myself. I had to repeat myself. Carla Williams did not run Bronco Mendenhall out of Charlottesville. He did not. Stop saying that dumb statement. She did not force him out. She did not run him out. She did not. Like, why do you believe, like, why do people even hit send after creating that sentence or that statement? Like, folks, why?
They standing on that shit too, which is crazy.
And I had a gentleman coming at me like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, bro, like, so here's my thing. And I like to remain grounded, because sometimes it could come off as being like cocky, conceited, big-headed. But it's like, bruh, if it's one thing I know for sure, I know that situation for sure. That's why I say with basketball, I trade lightly. I just kind of step back. I ain't a part of basketball. I ain't in the know. But when it comes to this program's football team, if I tell you she ain't run them off, I'm standing on that. It ain't about being biased. It ain't because I talk to her or I talk to him. Nah. But I'm gonna tell. I do want to say one thing for all the folks, because there's some of you fans who be dissing Carla. That year, at the end of that season, when Bronco, you know, we end up losing the Tech in a bad way. You remember that? How we lost the Tech that year? Yeah.
Greatest left tackle pass in history.
Yeah, we got one of the best tight ends, and we don't use them. And yeah, so That all season, everybody's saying what? What was everybody saying about who had to go by the end of that season?
Giving up 35 plus 30 plus.
Anybody could chime in. Who was the coordinator that everybody wanted to be?
Nicky.
Everybody said, yo, Nick Howell gotta go. Bronco gotta make a change. Nick Howell gotta go. 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 That's all everybody kept saying. I got all the tweets. I could be petty and just put out all the tweets that y'all was putting. It's there. It's bookmarked. I was petty Hulk. Bing, boom, boom, boom. Hey, got you. But then it's like, no, it don't get me nowhere, right? So I've like, through therapy and stuff, like, nah, that ain't a good, because it doesn't, I gain nothing by doing that. All right? So it's like, all right, boom. You have your exit interviews and you meet as a staff. It's like, we got to make some changes. Hey, we got to make that change right there. Because everything else, good. We got to make that change. We understand the moving parts. The people who filled in and was out of position playing, and y'all tried a new defensive scheme, yada, yada, yada. That could have been your choice, too, as a head coach, and not his choice. But, hey, he the D.C., got to make a change. Change was going to be made. Change didn't want to be made. Dex's name came up as the head coach. Everybody saying Dex's going to come in. I'm in my day of space, and everybody was saying, I remember when folks claimed that I dissed Tony Elliott when Dex was going to be the head coach. I remember that. Folks were saying Ball Hawk out here holding space is dissing Tony Elliott. When I had concerns that, hey, he just like Dex. They were both never head coaches. I was doing devil's advocate. So I remember how that grew legs. So anyway, fast forward. The decision was made, like, you got to make a change at the D.C. Loyal guy Bronco was like, can't do that. I'm going to just leave. I'm going to just step down.
So, Ahmad, thanks for doing this. Because it really comes down to money. That's how you compete at the college level. I spent enough time on the board of trustees at Virginia Athletics to know we've always had a money problem with football. Football money has kept us from being as competitive as we needed to be. And for the first time, I'm going to say this, since probably Sean and those guys with the McHugh Center came online, this mm-hmm. is the first time I have seen football invested in, not only from the facilities, the resources. Just look at the list of coaches and support staff that Elliott has. That's only happened in the last couple of years. The money that has been invested into strength and conditioning, some of that happened with Bronco. That wasn't available before 2017 when Carla came and raised money for it. Now we've got investors in NIL. We're playing on a more level playing field with football. You could have all the great coaches in the world. I watched Belichick fail in Cleveland because he didn't have the players. But he got players to put around Brady, and they succeeded. But you got to have the resources to do that. And now we've got the money to invest to get the players. We've got more money to invest to get resources like nutrition and fully staff the kitchen. We're at a place where football can succeed. And we haven't had that for a long time. Basketball has had more resources. And look what happened. After 2009, we began to succeed because we hired the right guy. We may have the right guy now, but he hasn't had the tools in order to compete at the level that we need to compete at. And that's not anything to place on Little Page or Oliver in the past. We just didn't have the investment or the willingness for folks to put money in. The Carl Smiths and the David Harrisons, those guys are gone. We had to create a new foundation of donors for football, and we finally have that. And, you know, Robert Hardy's done a very good job from the standpoint of being not only an investor in football, investor in all sports, but he has led as the rector on the Board of Visitors. That's something that rarely has that happen. And we've got a president now that is as into the support of athletics as we've ever had at any time that I've been alive, and I'm almost 70. So I've seen a lot that's happened within the period of time at UVA. We've never, other than the Frank Hereford years, where he made certain accommodations for sports, this is the most pro-athletic period that we've ever seen in UVA athletics. Carla has brought the money in. It's happened under her. She deserves to be able to fix football and to get basketball back on track. That's where we are.
Now, I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for the insight, Mike. The history. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I understand the reaction of something's not working. We got to change it. We got to change. I understand that. And you know, with a result-based business, but when it comes to athletic director, being athletic director, and Mike, you touched on this. I understand the two big money makers. Like, basketball isn't good this year. But last year, they were still competing. And years before that, they were still competing. I know 2019 won a national championship. But you know how that is. You win the big one. You might lose some important pieces. You hope you can reload, but things didn't work out. Then this year, before the season started, probably the greatest coach, that coach here, steps down. And what made the greatest, what made him one of the greatest coaches and one of, and a special coach, is he can maximize a roster that doesn't look that attractive on paper. That's just called a spade. It's not a knock on the athletes that are here, because it comes off like it's a diss, but it just speaks to Tony Bennett and how he coached, why he ran the pack line, why he slowed everything down. Because at the end of the day, he was like, you're not going to out-athlete me and beat me. I know you got better athletes than me, but I got better players as a unit than you, and I'm going to show they could be more consistent. So I have a roster that fits my line of thinking and how I do things. And once he stepped down, and since it was right before the season, you're asking a guy, Sanchez, he could be a disciple, anything he want. I know in Acts, the disciples, they did miracles just like Jesus did, but they want Jesus. Not to get too biblical, and that could be blasphemous, but I'm a spiritual guy. But they ain't Jesus. I know they was performing miracles in the book of Acts, but they want him. Sanchez might be a disciple of Bennett, but we see he not him. And it's a reason why he ain't him, because Bennett is him. Okay? So if anybody didn't think it was going to be a drop-off, you living in La La Land. I'm like, it's going to be a drop-off.
Yeah.
It just is, because that's why Bennett was so freaking special, bro. It was no different than when Tony came in with Kitchens and we had all this talent, yeah, and we saw what they did with, yeah, Brendan Armstrong, a quarterback, and then you take Brendan out the shotgun, you put him in the pro style because that's the style you know, and you just can't coach air raid, and we saw what happened.
Yeah.
Because flip side, we've seen college football, college basketball, professional sports, a new coach come in, and they win with a previous roster. And they're successful with a previous roster or previous recruits. And what's the one thing fans say? Can they win with their own players? Because that ain't theirs. That was already there. Because we do it at the caller, right? We call it, got here. Tony was already here. Who did she hire? All right, Tina, you got me on that one. But don't act like you weren't excited to see no damn Tina Thompson, former, you know what I'm saying, WNBA player, champion.
Everybody was excited when she hired Tony Elliott.
At the time, Tina Thompson was, you know what I'm saying, came with the red lipsticks. Everybody like, yeah, we got Tina Thompson, what? Woo, hoo, hoo, hoo. We here. And then it was like, wait a minute. Is this a reality TV show? Am I getting punked? Why is she at Duke? You know what I'm saying? Then Carla did what you supposed to do. Oh, yeah, you got to go. Then we get Mox. Mox come in and shake up the world. When she got Kamor, y'all don't understand, bro. Yep. She got Kamor and O. I know we ain't winning the ACC right now, but the fact that she got Kamor Johnson and Olivia McGee to come to UVA to play for UVA women's basketball after how it looked the past couple decades, you mean to tell me we ain't going to sit up here we still poo-pooing on our women's program? Like, bro, they still elevating. And I'm out there emceeing, trying to get people hype. And I love every bit of it, too. Your boy on the mic doing the women's games on Sundays. Now on Thursday, home games. I ain't mess with the Jamar. He do the men's. I'm going with the girls because Kamor, I grew up. I mean, I knew Kamor since he was young. not to get sidetracked, but so I understand why people feel ways that they do towards Carla, but some of the things that y'all share, you better off just saying in your own house, bro. Like, sometimes you ain't got to come on Twitter. Because it's just a nasty look. You know what I'm saying? I just be looking like, wow, man. Like, you really, that's some venom you spewing right now. Matter of fact, too.
Ahmad, wait until they get a taste of the money that Alexis has put into women's basketball.
And shout out, look, I'm going to be team caller. I could be team, not to cut you off, but I could be team caller because I met Serena Williams' husband Sunday. So I'm, excuse me if I'm a little biased. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. My bad. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that we haven't even touched the feel of what that means. And we haven't been able to compete in the NIL world with, you know, some of the top programs in the ACC in the transfer portal. She's going to have the opportunity to do that now in the next 2 years. With Mo and O, and we got Paris for at least another year, and we've got two really sensational kids that are redshirting this year.
And Lattimore is a beast at center.
And she,
I like her. She stayed out of foul trouble. She legit.
She's really good, and she's just finally for the first time playing a complete season. She's never played a full year of college basketball healthy.
Yeah, she is legit, man. I mean, you know, we was up on Duke all game, and Duke was known for their defense and speeding teams up, and they finally caught up with us late in that game when they started pressing, and we couldn't really inbound. And, you know, it reared its ugly head of the things we still need to work on. But I'm sitting there like, yo, we got some pieces.
I'm just we've never had a shooter like Dunbar. She's just a true first year. Give her another year or two. In strength and conditioning, she's going to be outstanding.
And I hear folks, right? So y'all some petty people. I love y'all. Some people out here so petty. They be like, man, we got the Hardy Football Operations Center, and football was still bad. And me being petty, like, well, I mean, we won 5 and not 3. So hey, that's a 2+ game. So you get a little bit more money, we might get 2 more games. That's 7. Give us some time, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. Look at the transfer portal that the football team did. You can't tell me these coaches ain't smoking. They out here getting them. And every kid that they interview, shout out to the Cavalier Connect, shout out to them when they do their interviews. They be talking about the coaching staff and how genuine they are. I'm just saying, man. I know we get in our feelings. I know we get in our emotions, and I know we want wins, more wins and losses and things like that. But it's something there that them jokers still coming here.
I'm with you, Hawk. I think that some of the things I've been reading on Carla from some of these UVA fans is kind of wild. Don't get me wrong. I tweeted, I don't really know how to feel about it right now, but I'm not overreacting. Just because, you know, you're right. She's done some good things. And it's funny because the year we won the national championship, everybody was talking about how she did such a great job, and they were all on her side, and quickly how things turn, you know? But I just think, you know, we got to see the thing that hit the basketball program that we had no control over is the way the transfer portal and the NIL went. We all love Tony. That just wasn't his game. That wasn't his way of how he liked to coach, and that as well as a lot of other coaches who have faded out. And you can't blame that on Carla. Like, it is what it is. It sucks that the men's basketball program's in the situation that they're in. But obviously, if it continues to go on the trajectory that it's going, it's looking like we're going to be looking for a new men's basketball coach this offseason. Got to see what Carla can do with that. She's never had a chance to look for a men's basketball coach because we already had Tony. So I think people just need to relax. I understand it's hard. We all love to win. It's harder than me as anybody. I hate losing. But at the same time, I mean, this is a prove-it year for Tony Elliott, and they're going to go find a new coach probably this offseason basketball. But people need to relax on some of the things they're saying about Carla, because is downright disrespectful of what they're saying, but I disagree with you on that aspect.
Hey, look, so I got a question. You know what I'm saying? What would y'all, just like I asked in the group chat, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know if y'all was in that, you know what I mean? What are we comparing Carla's shortcomings to for the people that are like, oh, she's done terrible management? It's piss poor management. Here's like an example of a comment I could read. Nah, bro, just nah. TB quit because of NIL. She is riding the coattails of every successful program that was here before she even got there. She is, however, letting those programs slowly dwindle away. It's piss poor management. So I'm just curious. You know what I'm saying? I see what you compare a coach to. You feel me? All right. His first 3 years, you compare it to the previous coach 3 years, right? Feel me? So what's the measuring stick for an AD to have motherfuckers really out here clamoring about athletic directors like they know a roster of potential candidates other than people like Mikey and shit? You know what I'm saying? What y'all talking about? I'm curious about that.
I don't know, man. That's why I like to like start spaces, because you see a lot of tweets and stuff. And it's like, hey, man, I would love to make that an open dialogue, like a dialogue, not an argument, not a debate, but just like a dialogue, because you don't understand somebody's tone or really what they're saying when they type it. It's up to your interpretations, because they could say it one way, but you could take it another way. And a lot of time, and maybe I'll just be having spaces at the wrong time. I wish I could have a space at the most optimal time where a lot of the more active and outspoken Virginia fans would join in and get a mic and share their thoughts. Because I'm not going to allow nobody to get attacked in here. Like, we're not doing that, because everybody wants the same common goal, and that's to be a consistent winner. And in every sport.
I can answer the question I was asked a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's look at our athletic department. We've got one of the most successful athletic departments in the country. We finished number 5 in the Director's Cup. We have national champions every year, which means we've got very attractive coaches. But who's leaving? Nobody. Do you think Todd DeSorbo isn't the most attractive swim coach in the country? He's won 4 straight national championships. He's still there, going after number 5. Oak has been to 2 College World Series in the last 3 years. There have been plenty of openings. He's still there.
Omaha Hoos.
I mean, there's no way that Carla is not respected by that coaching staff. Otherwise, we would be losing coaches.
I think that's a great point, Mike. It says a lot when you have successful programs and there are openings, and we know they are attractive to other programs, and they stay and remain here.
Yeah, because she supports.
And also, I think people like to try to compare losing, like how Duke lost Coach K, and then how us losing Tony Bennett. Now, we're not very good, and Duke kind of kept pushing along. It you're right. Tony was different. He maximized on what he had. And, I mean, Duke, regardless if Mike was there or not, they were going to keep pulling him in.
Right.
So it's apples to oranges. And UVA fans, sometimes we start thinking a little outside the box on the aspect of what is the actual truth of the matter.
Yeah, bro. Hey, if you out here thinking that, you know what I'm saying, when bro left some John Shire shit was going to happen, I'm going to need you to report to your local lab core. You go in there, you close the door, and you need to go pee in a cup and turn that shit in. And we're going to call the people on you, okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to call the damn people on you because you're high, all right? And it's dangerous. You're dangerously high at that. On top of that, to even think Duke basketball and UVA basketball, that would have been the same transition. Come on,
man. And not even come so on, to stay on that role, right? Duke basketball and the type of recruits that they've always attracted,
yes,
compared to the University of Virginia and the type of recruits they always attract, especially with the 2 prominent coaches. We're talking about Coach Tony Bennett and Coach Mike Krzyzewski. If you look at the talent, whether it's 5-star, 4-star, whatever, you just look at what they always got and what they always accepted and what they always went for, they were polar opposites. And that's why it was always, that's why it was always fun when Virginia beat a UNC, when Virginia beat a Duke, because it went against the norm, the grain. We didn't have Nick Nolte from Blue Chips as our head coach out here giving bags. Our coach was still beating the guys giving out bags. That's why they were so frustrated. That's why they didn't want to shake hands. That's why they got red in the face, because you had a guy doing it, the blue collar, unconventional, down to earth, spiritual way that can make some people uncomfortable. Because if you winning, it's allowed. If you losing, then people will attack that. But we were winning. So it keeps that in line. I'm just being honest with you. A lot of people don't like faith being in the forefront. We know how this world is. Nobody likes faith being in the forefront. So when you looked at that dynamic and somebody say, well, Duke's still flourishing, like you just stated, it's like, well, bro, I don't mean no harm, but you could just roll out a ball and tell them, go get buckets. They're going to go get buckets. Ours is, we coach. We run as a unit. You see how our offense runs. Like, even our best, some people talk about Menina, our best players. Like, can you just give Menina the ball, I Mac the ball, and just say, yo, go get a bucket? He probably could, but is that really what he, is that his game? If you think about Tony Bennett's entire tenure, you could probably name only probably five guys total, maybe seven, that you could just say, he could go get a bucket on his own. Ty Jerome, he could go get a bucket on his own. Cal Guy, bucket on his own. Malcolm Brogdon, bucket on his own. London Perentes, bucket on his own. Did I say Dre? Trey Murphy? Even when Trey Murphy was here, no, y'all ain't know Trey was going to be like he is now. Ron Dunn won't just get in the bucket on his own, even though he was first-round pick. Justin Anderson was a first-round pick. He had
Sam Hauser. He won't like that.
That's what I'm saying. But what I'm like, y'all see what I'm saying? It's like, it's just how we breed our, it's the Virginia way of building the basketball player. It's a little different. It's like Kentucky. Kentucky always get a five. Why he keep getting the five stars? He ain't winning nothing. Because when he go recruit them, he said, I could get you to the show. Look at Derrick Rose, look at John Wall, look at blah, 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 blah. And they go there.
And that's why it surprises people when our basketball players have gone to the lead and they succeeded. They were very coached up on top of
They have
Barry
a Cal. True foundational skill set that can adapt to anything. Look at Ty Jerome playing for Cleveland right now. Ty has added to his bag, don't get me wrong, but Ty has always had the capability of just being an assassin, just being a guy with ice in his veins. As much as y'all love them three-pointers from Thailand, Tony went out there telling him to shoot them janks. Ty was like, psh, you're from New York. You better call Tyrone. Call him. Shoot them on his own. And what did coach say? Hey, you better make it. And 9 times out of 10, what Ty Jerome do? Make it. Hey, man, we ain't running block and rule right now. Yo, go set a screen for Cal. Cal, go to the corner, man. Shoot that. If you don't shoot it, when you pass it back, I'm shooting it from the elbow. Trust me. Now you got a new voice. It's the same coaches, right? Like I said, same coach, same philosophy. But they just like, if we consider Tony as a guy that's the GOAT, should get a statue, you knew it was gonna be a drop-off. And it's tough because you try to prepare yourself, and then it's like, damn. And then people are like, well, it's Carla fault. Like, whoa,
man,
how?
We've been trying to get back to the football GOAT since I've been like 25, 26, man.
So I'm glad you brought that up, right? So here's the thing, another transparency moment. All right, I saw an old video of Coach Welch, God rest his soul. This was, I think, in the late 80s. He was saying, here at the University of Virginia, Virginia could never compete with a Florida State or a Miami on a consistent basis. Our program is not built like that. 6 or 7 wins, you may have your outliers, 8 or 9, but we'll never be, this program is not structured to be a consistent top-tier program. He said that in an interview, on TV, grainy. And when I share that sentiment, people are like, oh man, you just settling, blah, blah, blah. But when you look at the structure of the whole entire dynamic that that athletic directors have to deal with that we don't, it's a lot of mindsets that don't want to evolve in the new way of, hey, Notre Dame, you're going to the national championship. You get to keep your own $20 million. Hey, Ohio State, how much money you get? Damn, you're in the national championship. Hey, SMU, how much money you get? Like, but Carla still got people to be like, yo, man, I don't mean no harm. We ain't got to be done, but we can at least do this. Because we could do with this. We got to, we're going to have to ramp it up some. And she started, they started getting the donations. And salute to anybody that donates to VAF or any capacity to allow student athletes to play a game while also getting their education. We never lose sight in that. The one thing I always tell y'all about the NIL that I dislike is that they allow schools to now just give money versus just putting or just allowing athletes to be in a place to say, hey, I want to talk to Joe Schmo down here that got the automotive. I could sign some autographs or I could sign a contract. I get a dealer car or something and I shoot some commercials. Hey, I'm going to go down here. You could cut me a check for blah, blah, blah. I got this many appearances. I sign this many cards. We shoot this many spots and things like that. That's why I was an advocate for the NIL. But once they allowed the schools to just say, hey, we're going to drop a bag on you, because that's a little different. It's a little different to me. That's dicey. Now you're going to really see the Wild Wild West, because everybody's bag ain't different. But that doesn't, I still don't say, oh, that ain't fair. Because I always tell folks, when I was getting recruited, it's the reason why you went on recruiting visits. You went and go see facilities, and everybody don't got the same facilities, and it ain't fair. So that's why I didn't see schools giving money as anything really changes. Because I was like, that's no different than me going to see the facility and somebody got a bowling alley, and they apartment, Burt Reynolds apartment complex before they stayed in Tallahassee. All the football players stayed in that apartment complex right across the street from the stadium. That's a luxury.
And Ahmad, what some folks are not focusing on too, in September or the fall, we're going to change to a different operating structure based on the fact that the House Hubbard Carter versus NCAA lawsuits will have more than likely in April be approved, the settlements approved to by the judge. So schools will be paying athletes directly. We'll have a $20.5 million cap for each school that can pay up to that. Now, they're going to have to disperse that among all athletes. Most schools are saying they're going to give football around 70% of that. Basketball will obviously get somewhere around 15%, and then the rest will go to the other sports. NIL will then go through a clearinghouse, which will be managed by the accounting firm, management firm of Deloitte. These will have to be real NIL deals. So you can't have pay to play that way.
Yep.
Now, individual sponsorships from the big companies like Nike, they can still do that directly with the athlete. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a different dynamic. And UVA will have the capacity to pay out the entire $20.5 million. So we're, again, I'm saying it once again, we're finally at a point where we're on a more level playing field with not only the other sports, but also with football and basketball.
So you know what he just said?
That's great information right there, Mike.
Yeah.
What'd he say?
You know what he just said? You're about to get more AI Tonys. You're getting more AI Tonys. That's what he said.
Hey, look, man, what we don't want to lose sight in is this, man.
Hey, Mike, quick question.
Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, so the schools can't, like, say if the school is with Nike, the school can't get a deal for a player, then a Nike deal for that player to make them come to their school, correct?
The school can, once the player is there, they can co-brand, and that will be permittable. Now, how that information is translated to the player, that's where it gets a little fuzzy. But, the school can still co-brand with the player, for Nike or any other sponsor. Ahmad, I'd also like to mention, too, you brought up the Notre Dame gets $20 million if they win, they're in the championship. But the same can happen in the ACC. That success initiative allows ACC schools to keep all the money that they earn inside the playoff. There's a block of money that all the conferences get, and then there's the money that is allocated specifically to the schools that participate in the playoffs. ACC schools get to keep all of their money, which is
so they would keep. So they would have kept all, like, so if, say, Miami would have got, they would have kept all of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All right, see, that's great information.
Clemson and SMU kept the entire $4 million each were paid.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay, so everybody just wanted to be petty with Notre Dame just because they would Notre Dame.
Ohio State may not be happy about it because they do have to share with the Big Ten.
Oh, so the Big Ten's going to ask them to share.
Yes. The ACC does not. The ACC has the success initiative. The schools that earn in the postseason, they get to keep all their money.
Oh, hey, salute to the ACC, man. I know the ACC. I know y'all be getting flagged that y'all some trash can juice. But thank you for that decision right there.
Right. Yes, need to be in all the way. They ain't special. Well, they think they is. I don't care if they're in a chair. I don't care if you're in a chair. You ain't shit. Either you're in or you're out.
Take care of Malachi Fields, though, man.
That's
take
what you better do. That, yeah, get that on wax. That's
take
what
care of my guy, Malachi.
We coming for you, for sure, though.
But I like, all jokes aside, man, like, I'm happy for Carla getting an extension. You know me, I'm a people person, so if I get good vibes from people, building a relationship with them, I'm an advocate for them. But I also could say, hey, somebody would need to make a change for folks. Like I told you guys, I was surprised when I saw the extension for Dez. Like, y'all know Dez cool with me, but when I thought he was like, he probably won't be here, you know what I'm saying? When I shook his hand and started the last time, like, man, you know, I hugged him a little, you know, a couple of minutes longer. Like, it's my last
dog.
Time, bro.
I'm going to see you,
dog. Yeah, I'm going to see you. But then when I saw he had the extension, I was like, oh, damn. Now, what are you looking at me like we good? Yeah, we back. Like, hey, man, you know you got to, hey, dog, you got to get, you know, I ain't going to curse, but my grandma would be like, get your S together, you know. Better get your together. You know, back in the old school days, they
one more chance, player.
They pull their glasses down and look at you. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
A controller.
Yeah. I was definitely wrong because I told OG. I said, OG, he gone. Yeah. But by the end of December, me I was too. Sure that he was gone.
But yeah, man. If anybody want to, like I said, if you just joined, if anybody want to request a mic, you could definitely come up. Share your thoughts. Here's just open dialogue. I don't want to get into the space where I got people like going at each other, attacking each other, because I think that doesn't really end well. It's not a good representation. I just want everybody like to share their thoughts, share their point of view, have some points to where people could better understand. Like, all right, I understand why they feel that way. And, you know, and that's what I'm for. That's why I started this platform, because I wanted to have open dialogue, always be transparent, dispel some urban legends, like I like to call them, that people said matter of fact, oh, I know for a fact Carla ran Bronco off. I know for a fact Dex and Biscuit left and it's Carla. I'm like, whoa, how does she get blamed for that too? Like Dex said he just wasn't ready, brother. It ain't had nothing to do with Carla. I won't, hey, bro, I'm just not ready yet. In due time.
And another thing I want to bring up for the basketball program, a lot of people, I've seen some people throw some real shade at Tony Bennett. And the fact of the matter is like we've talked about, the way the basketball landscape is now with the NIL and the transfer portal, it wasn't exactly fall in line with how Tony Bennett really wanted to do things, which is why him and some of his other colleagues have left the college game, you know, the Jay Wrights and et cetera. It's not his fault that he kind of... Well, it is to an extent, but at the same time, it was hard on him with the recruiting because he didn't really know how to go about it. Because, like, these high schoolers, I know for a fact, some of these high schoolers are talking to agents now.
Yeah, they definitely got, yeah, they got agents. Yeah, they got representation. Yeah,
you know how hard that is for someone who didn't have to deal with that at all to just now, it's not just talking to a kid, it's talking to him and his agent.
Yeah. Like, And I had a conversation with Tony Elliott about that. You know, hopefully he don't get mad that I shared it. But he was like, "Yeah, that's some tough things because you could be so you're making phone calls to the student athlete, building that relationship, blah 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 blah. You go do a home visit, then boom, this other person's talking more. You're like, who is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a representative of XYZ. You know what I'm saying? And we want to see if you can meet us, meet our demands. Here you go. Boom, 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 boom. So you got to think, as a coach, athletic director, right? We got granting aids, scholarships. You ask for VAS, ask for donations. And it's like, how are we going to get this money? You send another blast email out, hey, thank you for your last donation. You know, and we sponsored this many student athletes. They're going to school, getting an education, but we want this five-star down here. He said he wanted 100K. Who could put in on it? Collection plate, here you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes it tough. Because when people donate, they're like, damn. And me being stubborn, I'm like, man, go to one of these businesses and be like we do for the tonsil league. For each jersey, we find a sponsor for each team. The cover charge is $750, $800 for the season, and the jerseys cost X, minus Z. Can you be a sponsor, and can you pay for the jerseys, the players, slash coach, GM? They'll pay for the fee. Or you could get two sponsors, one pay for the jersey. One, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I came up with that deal when it came up with jerseys. I was like, yo, we got to just get individual sponsors to help supplement some of the overhead. If guys still want to get paid, or we ain't gonna make nothing. So I understand in these days now with ADs and coaches, and that's why when it came to Carla, I understand the fan perspective of wins and losses and where the program is at. But then when you look at the administrative side and the real side of being an athletic director, with the money and the managing and getting eyes on the program, I still feel like we still got to do a better program of marketing our sports. I really feel like we do. We got to market it better.
More of what I was trying to get, I was just talking a lot, but more of what I was trying to get at is that, yes, these last few years in the basketball program that Tony Bennett was there, I don't want to call them complete misses, but maybe just a little off of what we thought some of these recruits would be. And a lot of people are just blaming Tony Bennett because they had the outlier. What he did with Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter, you know, Ty Jerome, et cetera, J-Hub, that was a great situation. And most college coaches glamour to have that type of situation. But it ain't going to be like that for every recruiting class that comes in. That's just how it is. Especially, you know, like we said, we're not like Duke. We're not bringing in four or five stars every year. You know, some years we've had 2-3 stars. And you're like, we just won a national championship. What the heck, you know?
I mean, at the end of the day, we could say this, right? When we won a national championship, we had a lot of NBA talent. Point blank period. We had what? We had Momdy, Jay, Kyle, Ty, DeAndre, that's five. And I might be missing some. Reese went on that team. Kihei went to the summer league, but
Braxton Key,
Toby. Toby was on that team?
No, Toby
left. But Braxton Key, yep, that's six. So that's NFL, I mean NBA talent. It's no different than Coach Walsh's teams that were successful. When you look at any team that was considered good or the upper tier teams, the 8, 9, 10 win teams, look how many of the guys on that roster were at least in camp or on the practice squad or played in the NFL or professional level. It was multiple. So
pretty much all the guys were going to the NBA. I mean, Kihei, I guess, was the outlier a little bit, but we saw how big of a thing he did.
But, so last year, how many games we end up winning last year? We won 20-plus last year, right?
Yeah, we won 20-plus last
year. And Reese was here last year.
He was here for the regular season championship.
Okay.
Ryan Dunn was here last year, too, so.
And how many – so they had what? Considered basically two pros.
Two pros, yeah.
And let's keep it a stat. Let's be honest, because what Petty Hawk is – y'all was joking, Ryan. Not people in here. I'm just, when I say y'all, I mean a lot of people in the fan base, y'all. I got to clarify, y'all got to stop doing that because I'm country. A lot of people in the fan base was laughing at Ryan Dunn. No, he can't freaking shoot. He ain't going to get drafted.
Can't look at him now.
As soon as that joker hit a damn NBA court, what happened? That boy jump shot was like he made on a 2K jump shot creator. Where you get that from? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
you got to have the NBA talent is going to be on your roster.
I was one of those fans. I just think as far as the basketball program, I was one of those guys that maybe I didn't expect it to be this bad, but I expected it not to be great. And I think some of these fans are really thought that we were going to be at least last year. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know. It could change, but right now, I don't see anybody on our roster that I say, oh, that's an NBA guy.
I ain't see this going to come off as bad, bro, but I'm just being honest with you. I'm not surprised at the record we got right now. I'm not.
No, I'm not.
When he stepped down, real talk, this ain't no shot at Jay Williams. Ain't no shot at Sanchez. This ain't no shot at Rhodey. This ain't no shot at Ahmad. This ain't a shot at nobody there. But I'm just like, bro, nobody else could coach that team but him. I've been saying that for years to folks. If Tony Bennett was to leave and you bring in a prominent coach and said you can't get nobody new, you got to coach when he left on the roster, you weren't going to do what he did. You was not. Sorry. Because that's why he played with that tempo. It was a method to his man. That's why he was special, bro. He was special. Sometimes they don't leave nothing in the cupboard for you.
I found funny that they said, we're going to speed it up this year. I ain't really seen it. But.
Hey, look, let me tell you something, man. How we built this year, go ahead and speed it up. You're going to speed up your ass whooping. That's what you're going to speed up. We seen that's when we speed up, it get ugly, right? Am I lying? I ain't lying. Come on, man. Y'all got to be with it. Come on. When we speed up the tip balls, try to run and gun, we be running and gunning ourselves up to an L quicker. You better slow it down. Get the points where you can. Put the little coffee in there and let them cook. Hey, here you go. Move. Yeah.
They don't have the depth to speed up. And I think Mox has found that out with the women's team.
Yep. Mox started running more just they passing the ball around. Like that's how they was beating Duke. When the game sped up late, that's when Duke came back and ended up taking the lead. They sped us up. We started turning the ball over. And they got into we couldn't really get back defensively in that. It was like a 1-3-1, right? Yeah. Yep. We couldn't get it back in that set. And that's how they started getting open looks, attacking the baseline. They sped us up.
That zone has changed her season.
Yeah.
It really forced teams to attack us differently. And we're pretty smart at playing that zone with those kids.
Especially with O at the top,
yep,
at her height. And then you got Lattimore on the back end being so rangy. She's like a free safety under the basket. That tall but can move that well.
It's all about your personnel.
You're right. And I think last night, a lot of fans, as well as me, got hot last night after the way we lost that game against SMU.
But that's fine, though, bro. So here's the thing. I never want to take away the immediate human reaction for a fan because at the end of the day, there is no excuse for losing the way in which they lost yesterday, no matter what the roster looked like. You were in position to put the nail in the coffin. It's free throws, hit it for free. I understand you coaching for defense, coaching for offense. End of the day, you trusted a guy to execute defensively what you wanted, and the defensive guy did not. I don't know what the rotation, but at the end of the day, everybody going to look at you because the hot hand got sat down, and you doubled down. And you doubled down. And I get it, bro, because we say this in football. A lot of times offensive coordinators, they outthink themselves because they want to stay a step ahead. And sometimes you can just be super simple and just say, you know what? I'm going to do this until you stop me. We do like that in video games, right? We feel like we're running the same play too much. Oh, they're going to catch on. And your opponent still ain't caught on. And you start going away from it. And then you forget. My bad. I got a phone call.
No, you're right.
But you know that
kid was thinking it that got sat down. He's like, I'm the hot hand. You telling me to come out? Like, that's the part that I'm just like, there is a few guys on this basketball team that I'm like, regardless of where the coaching decision goes, there are a couple guys I'm like, I would really like to keep them. I just don't know if we will. But,
I mean, yeah.
To be seen.
Yep, because here's the thing. If the season, like, just say if we were more successful than we were, and they just say we're going to make a change regardless, like, we got a winning record. Kids are having success. But we know if you bring in a new coach and a new staff, you run the risk of losing, because not only do these kids feel like they got to reset, but that new coaching staff, wherever they come from, they're going to influence whoever they had to follow them. And if it's a step up, you just never, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's no different with football. It's like when you see some guys transfer, sometimes some guys are like, hey, man, we appreciate all you want to do. We can help you get somewhere else. We're going to need that. You know, we ain't telling you got to go, but yeah, we're going to need that. Mm-hmm. So that's why when a lot of people start transferring, I'm like, if y'all really don't think you won't going to lose quite a few scholarships, because you're going to need them. If you saying I'm going to go reach the portal, you look at how many seniors are graduating, how many freshmen do I got, incoming high school freshmen I got coming in, and all right, what's available for the portal? So that's when you got to have conversations like, you want to go somewhere else and play right now? Because we could use that as an even trade. So that's why I don't really, when that portal, when we started losing guys and you build a relationship with them, but you still want them to be great wherever they go, you just wish them the best. Like, hey, man, that's cool, because we know we got to use that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's somebody that's making a difference, you're like, damn, we lost him.
Yeah. But also, you got to look at it in the way, yes, this year's going to suck, everybody, and the schedule's just going to get harder. People don't realize the beginning of our schedule in the ACC has actually been very favorable, and we've still been losing. It's going to get even worse. So everybody, but it could get pretty bad. Maybe they'll start playing better. I don't know. But the thing to look forward to in this modern day of college, though, is what you said, the transfer portal. You look at a team like Louisville. Louisville was complete and utter ass last year. And this year, they're competing at the top of the ACC because of the transfer portal. So, I mean, right now, the house is on fire, but the fire department can't come. we got to endure.
Big donors are not leaving basketball. The reason basketball is successful at UVA, because donors put a lot of money behind it. That's the reason football hasn't been successful, because we had lacked donors. Basketball does not have a donor problem, doesn't have a money problem. Tony had to tell people to stop giving basketball money because he wanted to see some of that money go to football. They didn't need it. Now, NIL changed some of that, and now they've had to ramp up the NIL side of basketball, which is doing okay. Tony just wasn't the right person to sell it because he didn't like it. He found it unseemly. So we get a coach who can live in that environment, basketball would be just fine. We just got to find the right fit for UVA and for the program.
That's a great problem. Hey, man, I don't need that money. Hey, I don't need this bonus. Give it to my assistant. Hey, man, Tony Bennett was just that's a phenomenal dude, bro. Hey, Tony, here's your bonus. Give it to my coaches. Hey, you got your hand up, Benjamin. How you doing?
Good, Hawk. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you having this space and appreciate the open dialogue so we can kind of talk. I just wanted to make a couple points with the Carlos situation. Really don't understand, like, all the hate and animosity. Yes, I know everyone's like, well, football and basketball are the two revenue sports. We all know this, yes. But football, look, after the season we had, I know I was almost out, but transfer portal Tony pulled me back in. Money after the season we had is flowing. Being into the program, I actually got to tour the football ops center right before it opened. That thing is state of the art. Basketball, I mean, we got to look at it. It's not really her fault that Tony, like, you know, stopped 3 weeks before the season. Her hands are kind of tied. I mean, what could she really do with that? And yeah, we're probably going in a different direction at the end of the season. She'll be judged for that. It's also, we got to look at her title is athletic director. That's not just football and basketball. It's all of the athletics. And sometimes it's also the move that's not made. I use this term loosely, but there was a media member of the Augusta Free Press who was calling for the softball coach's job, or head, or yeah, calling for her head. And that program is now top 25 in the nation. So overall, when you really look at it from the overall big picture, why are people saying that, like, she deserves to be fired? I don't get it. I don't understand. Yes, there's a dark cloud over our two big programs right now, but the argument is that's not really her fault. Next year for football, we're in a win-win scenario. Either we win with Tony Elliott, given that we've got all these great transfers coming in, or we move on. So I just personally don't understand the animosity towards Carla. I mean, I think, you know, overall this athletic program is in a great spot, and I just wanted to say that.
Now, I appreciate that, and that's the thing, man. It's like you said, with athletic director, you got to look at everything in its totality. I understand the two big sports, but when you pull the curtain back with the situation, because it's that narrative, and I talked about this again, and I don't want to keep harping on it, how everybody keeps saying that she ran out Bronco. Even when Bronco left, there's some things that transpired that made it tough for Tony Elliott to be successful that first year. It just really was. I'm just calling a spade a spade. I'm calling it what it is, bro. Like, it was difficult. That man was way behind. I'm going to just put it like that. So, and it wasn't his doing either. And that was something that she couldn't control. And we understand the unfortunate events that took place in November. His first year, so it was just like, so that's why I was excited for this season that we had, because that was the first all season where it was normal. Like, you could attack the transfer portal, you're not behind the eight ball, you're not behind in any area, and I was excited about the season. A lot of people didn't have a lot of great expectations. I felt like, yo, we gonna win 7 games. Like, that was just me, because I was just like, I like what I saw, but I didn't know it was going to be a regression in certain spots and injuries there, and then certain, you know, coaches' decisions as far as, like, X's and O's took place, which in football that happens. And we started out hot and then fizzled out, and we got stuck with 5 games. You know, so it's like, all right, well, on the bright side, it was more than 3, so we got 5. But that's not something fans want to hear, because for years, it's be patient, be patient. It was be patient, be patient. We won 6 games. We go to the Military Bowl. We get waxed. Caller first meet the team, say, hey, this team little. We got to get some size. I don't know if it's weight program, nutrition. But Mike touched on that. We invested in that. We got better in that aspect. That was her eye coming from Georgia saying, hey, these jokers don't look like the same jokers I just came from seeing. So let's get to that. How can I help? Then we went 8 games the next year. After we got, when it got an avatar that nobody knew about, that quarterback, he changed the dynamic. One player ended up changing the dynamic with some stability up front, but that avatar changed the dynamic. And then, boom, in 2019, after Bronco said we only got this many ACC players and people got on for that, which he was telling this truth, we increased that number. We get to the Orange Bowl. We come up short. You know, we come up short even in the ACC championship. You beat Tech. That was great. You're looking to build on that. The basketball team won a national championship. You're looking to build on that, right? And then, boom, COVID hit. So you can't even get the fans in the stadium in 2020. Because we know the Scott would have been rocking 2020, bro. Can we all agree on that? Coming off of 2019, if COVID wouldn't have hit, bruh. It's a lot, you know, it's ifs. I'm just being honest. It's ifs. So now we, in a sense, back at square one, because Bronco got back fairly quickly compared to Tony. But it wasn't the same. You expected Bronco, because Bronco was winning 10 games at BYU, going to bowl games. He already beat us head-to-head. Tony was new. He learned on a run. And, I mean, he learning on a run. So this year, it's like, all right, I'm in agreement with everybody. Yo, we got to get the postseason, bro. Anything less is uncivilized, as my man Cub would say. So, you know, this is it. And we see the difference. We see it. They putting in work in the transfer portal. We got great talent coming back. We got some quarterbacks. Whoever's going to be the starter definitely going to be somebody that's high caliber, that can compete, that got experience.
And also, if I could touch on something on the whole Bronco situation, I like my dad back when Bronco left, my dad told me something that I kind of was like, oh, that makes sense. When he left, if you don't remember, a lot of, you know, UVA fans not necessarily wanted Bronco gone, but they wanted some of his counterparts gone.
They wanted Nick gone. They wanted Nick Howell gone.
Yes.
We could be honest. They wanted Nick. They wanted a knob, but then they got used to a knob, but then even a knob was in the hot seat because he threw to the tackle.
Right. So when they wanted them gone, one thing we know about Bronco is he likes his guys. He likes to keep his guys in-house. He don't really give
two
shits about what other people say.
He's loyal.
He likes his guys.
Yep.
He's loyal.
Very.
Which I can respect.
Very loyal.
But what we don't know, there's a possibility that Carla heard the noise and told Bronco, we want you here. We want you here for the long term, but we need to change up some things. Maybe Bronco won't feel in that at all. And maybe he was like, okay, well, if that's the route y'all want to go, I will remove myself. We don't know, but everybody wants to blame Carla. It could have just been Bronco like, I don't want to do what everybody else wants to do.
Bronco spoke on his podcast about it, and he never said Carla forced him to do anything. He said it was strictly his decision. I thought that just killed all the speculation, but apparently it hasn't.
Because that the truth doesn't travel as fast as a lie. And a lie lives forever. We see that a lot in social media. The lie is more entertaining. And the thing with Bronco's gift is his curse. Bronco is super loyal to his coaching staff, to former players that he wanted to develop to become coaches. We see that with he hired Chris Peace to come and coach with him out there in Utah. So it's like, just look at where Bronco goes. He usually has the same staff. Unless they get jobs elsewhere, he's very loyal to them. He's a loyal. I spent a lot of time, but he's super loyal. If he takes a liking to you, he's there for you. And he's going to go to bat for you. And I'm pretty sure that when that conversation about Nick Howell was very uncomfortable. And I'm pretty sure if, you know, trying to bring Dex in to be the DC or the head coach is probably uncomfortable for Dex, too. Like, you can't ask an outsider to come join the family and be one of your heads. That's an uncomfortable situation. I ain't going to lie. I wouldn't. Hell no. I ain't jumping in that, because what happens the very next year? Bronco leaves. Then you might get your money because you signed the contract, but you ain't at a job and you might be at square one. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants security. That's why you see players don't like the franchise tag in the NFL. They want the long-term deal. They want security. So with his situation, as Mike talked about, the great thing about when he started his podcast that I was waiting on, he going to end up telling the truth and people going to ignore it and act like, nope, that messes up my I don't like Carla stance. I could use this. Oh, she ran Tony Bennett out. How? How she run Tony? How did she run Tony Bennett out? How did she just force? Like, and then Tony wanted Sanchez to be elevated. At this that close in the season, you wanted somebody from the roster. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to say, hey, can you come coach our basketball team? This ain't high school. Come coach our basketball team. We already got assistants. This ain't Mike London. I'm sorry, that was petty. This ain't Mike London when you say, hey, I got an offensive coordinator for you. Hey, I got another coach for you. Here you go.
I got a defensive coordinator.
Hey, here you go. No, I want continuity. But if you dislike Carla because you feel like the football program has failed and now the basketball program has failed, I don't have an issue with it because that's your stance. I respect it. But I don't respect disrespectful comments made towards her. I don't. The DEI hire stuff, I despise that because that's showing you don't deserve to have this job. You don't have the competency or the credentials to execute in this position. You're only here because of certain situations. And I really dislike that really irritates the hell out of me if we're trying to progress as a nation that people, oh my God, that's why. Well, why is it there? That's a rabbit hole that I don't want to go down. But when people, well, OG said earlier, and they come out as offensive, the new the fact when people throw that three-letter acronym out, it's almost like saying you saying the word that can really get you canceled in this world. It's like the new cover up now. And it's very disheartening as somebody of color, because it's like, bro, why are you throwing it in my face just because something was in place to make sure I can actually get a look, just in case there are folks that still exist that don't view the world like you do, but the old school way. Because there are still individuals that view the world in the old school way. Just like there could be individuals that look like me that may not trust somebody that's not the same color as them, does not mean I'm them. Because I see your character, I know you, so it's like, yo, they not like that. I know them. I'm not going to put them in that box. You may have had a bad experience with somebody, but I'm telling you, from my personal experience, they've never given me that vibe. So don't take that statement the way that they said it, like it was going that way, because that's not them. And that's what really bothers me when it gets to that point. And I know social media, and I know people can make accounts that you really don't know who you're speaking to. And I've gotten better over the years of just saying, man, you know what? I got to just leave it alone. Because, you're a private human being. I played a collision sport. I played this sport called football where you got to have a super big ego and be very fearless. And you had a switch. And when you stop playing this game, bro, it's hard to cut that switch off. And I got into so many spats and had to apologize to so many people because Mike years ago, My button went off on Mike before on the same, but not to put our business out there, Mike, but I had to apologize to Mike as a man. Like, hey, man, I apologize to you.
That's no worries.
You know what I'm saying? But, it's people in this space that I've known I had exchanges with that had to be like, yeah, I ain't mean that. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And you don't have to apologize to me because I'm apologizing to you because I was wrong. I caused that scenario. Like, you just reacted, which you should have because you're human, but I shouldn't have done that. Because we have that switch that we had to allow us to let our brains go away and not identify the pain and identify the hurt and identify the lactic acid in the situations. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going off on a tangent, but look, man, I appreciate everybody that has tuned in today. Everybody that supported the programs over the years and continue to support the programs, continue to, support in any way that you can, whether you're just watching games, attending games, buying the pearl, donating. Any support helps, man. Especially if you support Believe in Virginia podcast, man, on Believe Network. I appreciate y'all for just allowing me to just get behind the mic and you guys looking forward to episodes and just allowing me to share insight on what I feel would work or wouldn't work during the game or give my opinions on certain things. And at the end of the day, man, I'm just sharing my views just like y'all. I pull from personal experiences, but that doesn't mean I'm better than you guys. I always want to make sure I stay grounded and humble in the sense of, look, man, I'm just on a platform that may be elevated, but I'm human just like you. And don't think I ever lose sight and not appreciative of the support, of the shares, of the plays, of the feedbacks. I'm appreciative, man, and I know everybody in the program is appreciative of all the support you guys show. I still want our media from every aspect to do better as far as marketing our programs, like really marketing our program. I said today, man, in the chat, I want to be the Marv Rashad of UVA. I want to be like how Marv Rashad was for Inside the NBA, how he could just not just get exclusive interviews with the Michael Jordans of the world, but just really get all these student-athletes out in front of cameras and share their stories, share their journeys, just to celebrate them, bro. Because it was nothing better than just having memories on this campus of somebody wanting to know about how you grew up and how you got here. Because it's not easy, and how you can inspire the next person, man. So appreciate y'all, man. I'm going to try to do bi-weekly spaces, depending on, information that's shared and just tap in with the fan base. I know it's been tough for our men's basketball team. If you're not busy, next Thursday, I will be emceeing the women's game. And then every Sunday home game, I'll be emceeing. And then it's, February 6th, that Thursday, and I think the 13th. Those two Thursday games, I'll be emceeing the women's. I'm really enjoying emceeing the women's games because I just shout out to Kamora, man. Hey. Shout out to Olivia, man. Because I love those two young ladies, and that was the main reason why I reached out to be like, "Yo, can I emcee and just get the crowd hype?" Because they see me do it at Thompson Park during the summers here at, in Charlottesville, and I wanted to bring that vibe here at JPJ.
And hey, Hawk, before you get off, I know you like to show your appreciation to us, but I just want to show my appreciation to you. Thank you for having these spaces. Thank you for letting everybody have their word and not being, you play a very good mediator even when things do get heated. I've been in many spaces where it seems like everybody's ganging up on one person. You keep it very level-headed, very professional, and I appreciate having a safe space to share my opinions, you know. Me and you haven't always seen eye to eye on everything, and that's perfectly fine. That's sports.
We're human, but, right?
Right. So, but I appreciate you having these spaces and really just letting everybody put everything out on the table.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think that's what we like, right? Because we watch sports shows and embrace debate. Everybody's talking over each other, and I'm right, you wrong, I'm right, you wrong. But at the end of the day, we really right because it's just how we view the game. And at the end of the day, anytime you have a sports discussion or any type of discussion with anybody on this world and on this earth, you want to have an understanding of their view. You want to better appreciate why they feel that way, and you take something from that. Just like you hope they could take something from the way that you view things, and you can educate each other in the sense of like, oh man, I never thought of it that way. You know what I'm saying? And then they take that, and they may be able to have open dialogue with somebody else that they never thought they would speak with, and it stays cordial. And look, it could get animated sometimes, and people could get in their emotions because we're passionate about the way that we feel, and we want people to feel that how we think is right or, at the end of the day, respect it. And that's why I always tell folks, I respect people's stances, man. I really do. If I feel like you attacking something that I love and people see how I can get defensive of the football program, which is UVA in general, because I love it. I know this program saved my life. So I have to take a step back and be like, ah, man, they really not attacking me. They just venting. Let them vent. 48 hours.
And I can't lie. Sometimes I like to say stuff just to see if I can get Petty Hawk on the podcast. Just a little bit.
Yeah, Petty Hawk can have some fun. But in anything, though, man, even when I'm having fun, I got to reiterate that it is fun. It's not a personal attack. Because I know I can really joke. I come from the locker room where I was the guy who just joked all the time. And I always had to be prepared to joke. So I know I could get carried away, but I'm driving. Did anybody got anything that just was elevated to the top that they wanted to say?
Let me offer this and to close with. When UVA invests significantly in something in sports, we typically win. Mm. We invest in the McHugh Center, and we had the greatest decade of football in UVA history. We invested in tennis. We had basically no tennis program. We've got 6 national championships now. Mm. We invested in baseball when baseball almost went on the cutting table. And a little over a decade later, we're winning a World Series. We invest in sports heavily, basketball. We had Ralph and couldn't win, but we put a lot of money in basketball. And a decade later, we had a little over a decade later, we had a national championship. So when we do it, we tend to get the results that we want. Look what Lisa Palmer and her mother did with the softball program. Now we're top 25. So the money's there. Just give it time and let it work.
That's great insight, Mike. Appreciate that. And it makes a lot. Cub, what's good, my guy?
What's up, fam? What's good? I wanted to kind of piggyback on what JC said and just give you your flowers on creating these avenues for folks to have civil discussion, you know, and I think open dialogue, it really describes it, because we can always agree to disagree, you know, and because everybody's opinion, they have their own opinion, you know, and you are incredible at the way that you're able to level set the discussion, you know, keep it fun, keep it light, but still keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I always enjoy chiming in with you, because we're very like-minded that way. And like I said, I just love the way that you are able to just keep things in order, keep things in line, keep the conversation moving. while still, you know, still voicing your opinion. So I just wanted to chime in and continue to give you your flowers and continue to be proud at watching where you've come from and how you've elevated your game and continue to elevate your game. So keep at it, my guy.
No, I mean, I appreciate that, the heavy praise for you, Cub. And, you know, like full transparency, I'm not afraid to say this in front of everybody, that Cub is a guy that's mentored me, that's talked me off the ledge plenty of times and has helped me mature on the way that I interact on social media, because I was an emotional tweeter. I was a guy that got super defensive and offensive if I felt like you was disrespecting the program or coaches or people I have relationships with. And here's a guy that taught me insides and out on how to navigate through this sports entertainment world. And again, full transparency, when Virginia Sports Network made that change and that job became open, people don't know, I wanted to make sure I had Cub's blessing to interview and become the next lead analyst because of the respect and the admiration I had for Tony Covenant. And it was never any ill will from him. He was my biggest supporter, was coaching me on how to do the auditions, and after every game, chopping it up with me, letting me know how I sounded and things I could do better. So, again, man, words can't express how grateful I am for just our friendship, because I know it's the brotherhood, but at the end of the day, it's a little different when you know you got a resource that you can just tap in with, and they could give you those hard truths, but that love is still there. It's like you said, it's like agree to disagree. It's no love lost, but at least you know I'm going to give you the truth. So if I tell you, hey, man, you mess it up, it ain't coming from a place of hate. It's a place of love. So I appreciate you for just jumping in as always, bro.
No doubt, my guy. I got you 100%. Always.
All right, man. We got anybody else that wanted to chime in, share anything? You know, I ain't gonna lie. Petty Hart be disappointed that the usual suspects that be front and center real loud and disrespectful don't be wanting to come in. Cause I ain't gonna attack y'all, man. I'm really not. I'll hear y'all out, and I'm allowing you guys to speak your truth. Why are y'all so more confident in your thumbs than your microphone and you can articulate this? I don't get it. I really don't. And this is not a Skip Bayless bait. You can sit right here, Chris Posh. But you know, I'm not doing the Skip Bayless. I'm being transparent. I would love, because I ain't gonna say the individual's name, because that's petty. But I would love for them to be able to share the space and have an open dialogue of why they feel the way that they do. Just so people could better understand, because again, we can't understand tone when you hit send with characters. We really can't.
Shit, I became a better talking to Petty Hawks.
Hey man, salute to Washington too, man. Y'all, you know, just keep respect, scoring versus Detroit. Yeah. Keep scoring versus Detroit, bro.
Hey, we us against the world.
Yeah, don't let's stop go. Scoring. Remember I said that.
Hey, Hawk and Cub, can we get the lockdown podcast back? What's going on?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Go, you finna get beat up. You better get off that phone, bro.
What up with you, Chris? Hey, man, we'll get some things. We'll get some things in the iron. Trust me. But yeah, that's a great question, though.
It is.
Cause I know you just saying what everybody else is wondering. We don't take that as being petty or nothing. We realists. Okay. My bag, I'm about to get a haircut.
Finna get that bald fade cut.
Nah, I'm about to grow my hair back out. I say I'm tired of the waves already. Let me grow my hair back out. So I'm just getting lines. You know, I'm Nelly, man. Boy's chestnut.
Hey, Hulk.
What's up?
All right, so I only got two things. You need to be at our junior day speaking to these recruits, bro. Real talk. And I want to send a shout out to OG. Let you know that Houston runs Texas now. That's all I got to say.
You said come to the Texas junior days?
Yes, sir. You'd be a great
When is the junior days?
Hold on, buddy.
Hold on, let me check. My bad.
Do matter of fact, just DM me the info and stuff, bro.
I got you.
I definitely love to tap in.
Houston runs Texas for like another 2 days. As long as we both know that, all right?
Hey, yo, what y'all think about Ja Morant posting not even counting? Even though I don't think that's supposed to because he ain't touched the rim.
I don't care if it didn't count. We know. We saw what happened. We know what happened. He got yucked on.
It's a power layup, man. We're going to keep it a thousand.
It don't even matter, bro. Like,
but, you know, I blame Blake Griffin for this mess.
Bruh's like 7'11".
He's throwing the ball into the rim.
Ah! He was like 7'11".
Go back to D-Rose.
All right, man. Anybody else have anything that they want to say? Any parting words before we get up out of here, man?
Be good, do good, go Hoos. I let you boy, man.
There it is. And this will be uploaded as a episode on Believe in Virginia on the Believe Network later tomorrow. So if you didn't catch it in the entirety or you just want to add it as a login and then provide feedback on iTunes or Spotify, you're more than welcome, man. It's on Believe Network, BLEAV.com. Believe Network. All right, man. Go Hoos. Peace.